I've been studying the grace of God off and on for years. I've only taught it one time. I don't know why. Understanding of God's grace was mystery to me. I couldn't quite get it. I had a friend raised in the Lutheran church, and grace is foundational in that church. They talk a lot about grace. So she had vast understanding of grace. And I'd meditate. I have all the scriptures typed out, and I'd meditate, and I'd ponder, I'd think about it, and I'd say, I don't get it. And she couldn't get the fact that I didn't get it. She thought, how can you not get it? How can you not understand? Well, I had some excellent notes on grace by a Bible teacher. I studied those at great length over and over again. I could tell you what they said as far as I have a strong memory. I could quote it back to you, the definitions and the scriptures. But in my heart, see, the heart makes a tremendous difference. In my heart, on the inside, I didn't quite get it. Now, last year, we taught one lesson on grace. I had a flash of light. I mean, I was just, as I do periodically, I take out my grace notes and my grace scriptures, and I had been reading them and meditating in them, and I had this flash of light. That's what revelation is. I saw it so clearly, but over a period of time, it's like the light dimmed. I was so glad I had the tape and the notes. I thought, surely if I hear the tape again, go back over the notes, that same revelation will be strong within me. Well, grace is very important to receiving from heaven. Anything you get from God, you get by grace. So a real strong understanding of grace is foundational. And I was reading Ephesians 1, and I had a similar flash of light. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, unfold the full plan of God. It's a marvelous passage of Scripture. It goes from verse 4, where we are chosen. It says we are chosen. And then it says, verse 5, we are predestined. In verse 7, we are redeemed. In verse 8, he's abounded toward us. In verse 9, he's made known to us. In verse 10, he's going to gather us together. Now that gathering together, verse 10 is end time events in part, where it says those in heaven, those on earth will be gathered together. So that's the end of where he began when he said God chose you in verse 4. Now he said he chose you, he predestined you, verse 5, the end, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now when you will something, that's the way you want it. This is the way he wanted it. This is what God wanted. He wanted a family. He wanted a family who would choose him, a faith family. And he provided access to heaven, to his grace, to his benefits. That was what he wanted. I love that phrase, according to the good pleasure of his will. Then it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That this entire plan, from the day he chose you in Christ, from the day that Christ died and was raised from the dead, you were ordained, predestined when you came to God and received Jesus to be a part of his faith family. He said that was all according to his will and would bring great praise to his grace. In other words, grace was, the entire plan was effected and precipiced and laid out on grace. Now, grace is the difference when you made a 69 on a test, and in order to pass you, they gave you a 71. And those 2 points, which you didn't earn or merit, which were just given to you, are grace. Now, grace is what comes to you free. But because of the will of the teacher to see you pass, to see you move ahead, because of their confidence that you could actually do the work and make some improvements and perhaps even go to summer school, she's granted you that grace. Now, God has great confidence in a people that he has chosen, that those people, when given all the options, would choose him. He's chosen a people to choose him, and he's given them free access, and grace is always free. We use the word unmerited favor, but I like what one minister said better when he said unearned favor. Now, grace never has anything to do with what I know, what I understand. It's not a point system. It's not a debit and credit system whereby all I've done that's right outweighs what I've done that's in error. Grace is simply, I see what you want for me, I see what the plan is, and I cooperate with the plan. Grace is understanding the will of God, it says, according to the pleasure of His will. Now, verse 9, making known unto the mystery of His will. He didn't keep His will, the fact that He wanted you in the family, and verse 3, He wanted to bless you. He said He wanted you to have spiritual blessings. In other words, anything the spirit world can provide, that's part of the plan. See, it's part of the grace plan. That free to you, without your meriting, without your earning it, there would be great blessings. You would be a child. You would be chosen. You would be adopted. You would have wisdom abound towards you and the will of God made known to you and the blessings of God flow to you all by grace just because you said, okay, I'll have that. Now, we work very hard to pray enough, to read enough, to gain knowledge. And sometimes because we're reading and praying and gaining knowledge, we thwart the grace of God, thinking that we in some way merit the benefit that we need. But grace is without merit. It's this is the plan, this is the will of God, choose that. This is the will, choose that. Now he said, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. Do you see that word, purpose of Him? Who works all things after the counsel of His will. God is working in my heart to fulfill His purpose in my life and His purpose in the church corporately. His will is His purpose. What does He want? He says, according to the purpose of His will, one scripture said. In other words, He had some things that He wanted, and because those things He wanted for me, and He knew I couldn't merit or earn or get to a position where I qualified, He's going to, by grace, free, without my merit, give those things to me. He's going to present His will, present His purpose to me. And if I choose the purpose, I choose the will, I can have the benefit. Now, the sovereignty of God has been grossly misunderstood. That's God does what He wants to, when He wants to, if He wants to. And there are whole tenets of faith where everything is sovereign. If it's good, it's sovereign. If it's bad, it's sovereign. Because God is in control and He's doing what He wants to. But when you read the scripture, you'll see He had a purpose. He had a sovereign will. He had some things He wanted to affect in my life. But He presents those to me for me to choose those, knowing if I choose those, the grace of God will bring those to me. You understand that? Now, when it comes to the new birth, to salvation, for by grace are we saved. But you're not saved just because God wants you to be saved. You know, 1 Peter, God's not willing that any should perish. See, he says His will or His purpose has been established. God had a purpose. He had a will. He had things that He wanted to do. The first of all, He chose you. He wanted you to come into the family. He wanted you to be His child. He predestined you to be a child of God and for Him to be your father. He predestined a relationship if you would choose Him. But if I don't choose Him, His will is thwarted. It will not be accomplished. It is His will that I be born again, but if I don't choose Him, His will is not fulfilled. God's will is not fulfilled simply because it's His will. God cannot do everything that He wants to do. Now, it is His will that I be healed. That is provided by grace. His purpose, His will, His aim is that I be saved and healed. But like I choose salvation, I choose to be healed. I see it as the will of God. I know that's what He purposed. Now, you have certain purposes for your children, certain things you'd like them to do, certain things you'd like them not to do, not to be involved in. And the fact that you purposed that, and the fact that you maybe have taught them and encouraged them in certain directions, does not mean it's going to come to pass. Because they choose. They have to choose to hear your words, to heed your voice. And if they don't hear, if they don't heed, then they don't get the benefit that you pointed out to them. Now, verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, that's the will of God. That's His purpose. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, letting us know that His will, His purpose comes through grace. But it comes to me because I choose the will, I choose the purpose, then I can receive the grace. When I say, I see your will, I see your purpose, I see your plan, that I am healed. And when I choose that, then the grace can move into my life and begin to do in me what God wants to do. Now, in the realm of healing, God does sovereignly move through the gifts of the Spirit. That's the sovereign move of God. It has nothing to do with your choice. But God only does that here and there. But everybody can be healed by choosing Jesus as healer, by knowing that that was the will of God, that was the plan of God. Choose the plan and the grace comes. Choose the plan and the grace comes to you, and the grace works in you to perform the plan. Now, I'm not the performer of the plan. You can't perform the plan. Your part is to choose, is to see this is the will of God, this is the purpose of God, and to know that God has made known to me, that's verse 9, the mystery of his will. He's made known to me. He's revealed. He's unraveled. He's unwrapped his will. See, it was in his purpose, in his plan, that I would see the will. Is that good news? He wants me to see. He said, I've made known to you. Now, see, everything you receive is because you believe that. I may be in the dark. I may not understand. I may not see, but I know I'm supposed to see. I know I can see. I know he wants me to see. The minute I say, okay, God, I know you want me to see. You said you've made known to me the mystery. You said I had the mind of the Lord. You said the spirit of wisdom could be upon me. See, I know he wants me to know. He wants me to see. The minute I choose the will of God, then the grace of God can move into my life. The grace of God is the power of God that brings the will of God to perfection in me. It's the power of God that brings the will of God to perfection. But I have to first see the will of God, see the purpose, see the plan, and say, okay, I choose that. I want that. I see. Now, once I realize that Jesus is Savior, see, that's the plan. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He says he wants all to be saved, come to knowledge of the truth. That's his will. That's the plan. Once I know that, then I have to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart Jesus is Lord, that he rose from the dead. I have to take a step towards God. And when I do, I did not recreate me. I did not make me a new creature. I did not plan eternal life. I could not perform the will of God. I did not, could not perform the will of God, but I chose it. I saw it. It was revealed to me, and I chose it. Once I chose it, he can perform it. He's the performer. In other words, he decides this is what we want. This is how life should be. You should be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's right. Amen. So you have obtained an inheritance. So, okay, I believe that. See, what I say with my mouth, what I believe and what I say steps towards God and gives that grace a chance to work and bring to me the spiritual blessing. Now, that's exactly what happened to Abraham. Look at Romans chapter 4. Abraham knew the plan and purpose of God for his life was that he should be the father of a great nation. That's in verse 17. Now, that's the plan of God. That's the purpose. That's the will of God. He said, Abraham, you will be the father of a great nation. Now, God's plans often are impossible from our perspective. Cannot come to pass. Do not ever be thrown a curve because God's plan for you is beyond mental and physical grasp. Because God's mind is higher than yours. And he's not limited. I'm limited by my physical body and my mental capacity. But he's unlimited. You know, and I can, with my vision, only see so far. And yet God can see the whole world. And everybody in the world, and know the difference in the different people, and know the numbers of hairs on their head. So don't be thrown a curve that the doctor says you're going to die, that you can't live. And God's plan is for you to live and to be healed. God's plan is higher. God can perform his plan. He's going to perform it free of charge. Grace is free of charge. But grace comes because you have faith in the plan, because you believe the plan, you believe the purpose, you believe the will. You see what God wants, and you say, okay, I see that, I understand that. And you take a step with your mouth and step forward and say, I believe that according to your word, I'm healed. That's my part. Now, once I step towards God, see, here's the plan. This plan comes to pass when Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah's 90. The scripture says their body was now dead. That's in verse 19. It's an impossible plan. To man's mind, it's a waste of time plan. Why should we even talk about it? Can't come to pass. But that's from our perspective. One gentleman dying of cancer, becoming comatose, said to his wife, "Don't turn loose on me because I'll live and not die." I read his testimony, marvelous testimony. He knew God's plan. He was expecting God to perform the plan. He owned a business, so he went to the office till they had to tie him in his chair. He could no longer sit erect. Obviously could no longer come to work. The plan's not coming to pass. He never wavered. He's got the plan. His part's to believe the plan. He's not the performer of the plan. He's not the one that affects the plan. He's not the one that shifts the muscles and the cells and the organs that causes a disease to dissipate and the damage to be undone. That's not his part. God's the performer. Grace performs it. All he asks you to do is believe that that's the way God wants it, and that's what he'll do once you believe it. Grace simply says, "I see the plan. I see that." Now, Abraham didn't have full revelation of the plan. Genesis 12, maybe we should look at that. God began to reveal the plan to Abraham. It's quite clear that Abraham didn't know everything there was to know about the plan. God said, verse 2, "I've made thee a great nation." I've made thee what? Great nation. Abraham doesn't even have an heir. God began to speak to Abraham over a period of time to explain the plan. Look at verse 16, chapter 13. "I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." He doesn't even have one seed. You know there's a lot of dust on the earth. But in spite of the fact that Abraham didn't fully understand the plan, he knew God had spoken. Now we have numerous scriptures that said Abraham believed. Look at chapter 15, verse 5. God brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven, tell the stars, if you would be able to number them." He said, "So shall thy seed be." He referred to Abraham's seed as dust and as stars. He was showing Abraham the magnitude of the plan, the grandeur of the plan, the broadness of the plan. Now, in spite of the fact that Abraham didn't fully understand the plan, it says he believed in the Lord, verse 6. Believed in the Lord. See, you begin to put in your mouth, "Okay, I'm going to have seed like the dust of the earth. I'm a great nation." You begin to say, you begin to cooperate with heaven. Grace cannot function unless you step forward with your faith. God is going to perform and do and shift and change and elevate, but only when you say, "I believe." Grace always begins with the revelation of the plan. What's the plan? It says in Ephesians, according to the purpose. What's the plan? According to the purpose of his will. What's his will? What's his purpose? And then you say, "Okay, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that." Now, Abraham and Sarah are going to try to bring the plan to pass by sending Hagar to be Abram's wife. So it's clear they didn't fully understand what God was doing. You notice God didn't give up on them? Oh, thank God. Thank God he didn't. Chapter 17. He comes back to Abraham, repeats verse 4, "Behold, my covenant was with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." According to the purpose of his will. Here's the purpose of his will. Here's the plan, Abram. Here's the plan. Here's the will. Here's the purpose. Now, who's going to bring the plan to pass? Almighty God. But God cannot bring the plan to pass if Abraham doesn't believe in the plan. That's his part. And then grace is like a vast current of air. You're standing waiting to fly. Could man fly? You know, for some time they thought man would fly, you know, just flap and fly. They found out that wouldn't work. But they stood on the top of the hill and waited for a current of air. You've seen the pictures. And then they thought they might need some additional equipment. That's what Abraham thought. Well, no wind here. We may need wings. And so they had wings. And then they thought, well, this isn't working. And so somebody gave them a shove off the hill. So don't try to bring the plan to pass. Just stand there and wait on. See, grace is that current of air which blows. But I know, because I know the plan, I know the purpose, I know the wind blows, and I know it. Now this man stayed in his office until he could no longer sit up. He stayed at home a very brief period of time. And then they hospitalized him, where he was semi-comatose, going into a full coma. In his last lucid moments, he said to his wife, "Now don't you turn loose on me, because I'll live and not die." So the night he went into a coma, you could hear him breathing. She's standing at the end of the hall. He's several rooms down, but you could hear him breathing, struggling to breathe. And her minister came and let her know that, "We'll be with you. Stand by your side. He's going to die, you know." She said, "No, he won't die." So here she is. So standing right there at the end of the hall, looking down at the flower bed, she could tell you what she's looking at. He quit making all those rattling noises. And the nurses went running. They said, "Well, he's dead." She went running and she said, "Jesus has come. He's alive." She expected the plan to be performed. She expected grace to come. She expected it to work. She wasn't looking for it not to work. She was standing. She knew the wind was going to blow. She knew God was the performer of the plan. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." The plan that she would bear a Christ child that a virgin would conceive, totally unconceivable, totally impossible. Doesn't matter how impossible, all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to those that believe. And if I believe, the grace will come. If I believe, the wind will blow. If I believe, the plan will be performed. But I have to get in, know what's the purpose of his will, what's the plan, what does God want, and say, "Okay, that's what I believe." Now Genesis says Abraham believed God, Galatians says Abraham believed God, Romans says Abraham believed God. Three witnesses we've got that he did believe. He believed in the plan. He believed the wind would blow. Now there's something very important in Romans chapter 4. Am I making this clear? I hope so. Verse 18 tells us he believed, who against hope, no human hope, no possibility, but he believed in hope. Why did he believe in hope? Because God had spoken and said, "You'd be a father of a great nation." And then chapter 17, after they brought Hagar and Ishmael was on the scene, God said, "No, I meant through Sarah, that she will bear your son. You'll call him Isaac." So it says Abraham believed that he might become the father of many nations. Now, he isn't going to make himself a father of many nations. It is totally impossible. But you see verse 17, "who quickeneth the dead." Don't think of that as raising the dead who have died and are buried in the dirt. It's talking about Abraham's body and Sarah's body were dead. But God is going to, who's going to quicken those dead bodies so that they can bring a child into being? God is going to quicken. God is the quickener. Now, he's the performer. He's the one who shifts and changes and brings it to pass. Grace brings it to pass. All I do is believe in the grace. So this is the plan. I believe you'll do that. And that man, that night Jesus came, he was totally, completely healed. He did exactly what the scripture said, having done all. And then when he could no longer stand, he turned over to his wife. And she stood. She said the Lord gave her a vision. She saw him like a little bird. She knew it was him, but it was a bird she was looking at. And somebody picked up the bird and put it in the freezer. And so she knew that he would come down to death's door. But she also knew when you take something out of the freezer, it thaws out. And she knew he'd come out of that. Now, verse 19, "being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." What you consider. See, I am to consider the grace of God, the purpose of God, the will of God, and that alone. I am not to consider, how can this be? What can I do? What you consider, verse 20, he staggered not. You know why staggered not? Because he didn't consider certain things. It's not that they weren't physically viable, so he didn't think about it. He didn't ponder it. He didn't meditate. He didn't consider that. He thought about the word and the word only. Yes. See, what I consider, When I know the will of God, Jesus is the healer. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals thee. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. I sent my word to heal you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Once I know, surely borne my griefs, sickness, weakness, and distress, carried my sorrow and pain of punishment. I know the will of God. I know that that's the plan. That's the purpose. He said, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his pleasure. He wanted to do it that way. He wanted to heal you. He wanted to save you. He wanted to bless you. He wanted to make known his will to you. He wanted you in his family. He wanted to adopt you. So we were grafted into the vine. He wanted to. It was his will. And he wanted to do it free, without merit, without any work or diligence on your part. He wanted you to say, okay, I see that. That's what I want. It's like going to a restaurant. Say, where do you want to eat? Wherever you want to eat. Say, no, I'm wherever you want to eat. Just find out what God's want and say, okay, we'll sit there. The reason he didn't waver is because he only considered, I've made thee a father of many nations. Considered not his body. Now, you know Peter walking on the water. See, he said, if it be you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. So the purpose of God's will is established. God has said, come. That's his will. The plan's been established. It's obvious Peter believed that. He was walking on the water. He was walking on the water. But said he saw the wind. Now that amazes me because we know from John that Peter was an avid swimmer. Had to be pretty foul weather. Because if he began to sink, he could swim to shore. We know that from Scripture. We're not guessing. We know that. So he saw Jesus on the shore, and he jumped out of the boat and swam to shore. Had to have been pretty foul weather. And they said he saw. See, what he considered caused him to waver. And any time I waver, I thwart the grace of God. In other words, the wind that was beginning to blow now dies down and subsides. I have to fully cooperate with God, keep my wings outspread, and say, I know what you want for me. And I love that in Ephesians, according to the pleasure of his will. He really wants to do it. He really wants to do it. He's not reluctant. He's not reticent. He's not hesitant. He said, I want to do it. This is my will. This is my purpose. And if I, just like Abraham, say, I know that Jesus is my healer. He says, I know I'm a father of a great nation. And then he narrowed his vision so he only saw what God saw. And by only seeing what God saw, he didn't waver. And while he's unwavering, the wind blew. And Sarah conceived a child. Now let me show you a verse in Genesis, chapter 17, verse 20. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. That's the mercy of God. They had already tried to do their own thing. God said, no. Sticking with the plan. Stick with the plan. See, stick with the plan. Stick with the plan. He's the healer. Healing is free. Comes by grace. I will establish my covenant with Isaac for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Stick with the plan. Stick with God's plan. Don't alter the plan. I am the Lord. You know, if you said, Becky, I want to give you $1,000, I'm not going to whine and cry. I'd say, oh, no. If that's your pleasure, that's really what you want to do. I want to say that's Cumbe with an O, C-O-M-B-E. God says, this is what I really want to do. This is what I really want to do. Do you see that? According to the purpose, according to the pleasure of his will. Now look back at Ephesians. Maybe you can see it a little clearer now from Ephesians. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to what? The good pleasure of his will. To perform his will brings him great pleasure. And verse 9, it's repeated. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Verse 11, at the end, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now that's important. Who works all things. In other words, he's trying to bring to me knowledge and insight of his will. He's trying to work out his will in my heart so that I'll choose that will, so that I'll step forward in faith. It's not that I have to work here to believe and to trust and to understand. It's God is working in me to bring me the fullness of knowledge that I need, to bring me the understanding of his will. He says, he's working his will. Where is he working? He's working it in my heart so that I can see it, so I can understand it. When I begin to see and understand the will, I step forward and say, okay, that's what I believe. I believe it's your pleasure to heal me. I believe Jesus is the healer. I believe no weapon formed against me prospers. And I just spread out my faith and don't stagger. I only look at the promise, not at anything which would cause me to waver. To consider is to waver. And then wait for the grace. Because he's promised to perform his will with his grace. And that's not anything I'm doing. I'm not doing that. He's doing that. And he will do it the minute I believe. Now, because he begins in the spirit, sometimes the winds blow at my body and my mind don't know it. See, people give up. The Lord showed it to me this way one time. You're walking down a road and you're believing something. And you're really believing. You're walking, walking, walking and believing. Well, after a while, you get tired of walking. You don't see anything happen. So you sit down and you quit. But you're coming to a major intersection. Here comes the Holy Ghost, the grace of God, to perfect the plan of God. And you quit. One intersection before the answer came. Because you didn't see it in front of you, you sat down. That's what he showed me. And he said, if you'd taken one or two, three steps into the intersection, Becky, and looked in that direction, you'd have saw it. Here it comes. But because we're feeling and sensing, I didn't see it. Doesn't look like it's working. And maybe I was walking, and by the time I get up here, I'm crawling. Medically, that happens to people. I mean, now they're on their knees. And so they say it didn't work. I'm going to die. And here comes God. He said you quit one intersection before you would have crossed the answer. See, it is the will of God to answer. He purposed his will. He's working his will. He's working. Look at Philippians 2 where it's repeated. God is working out his will. He's working out his purpose. He's going to do this for you. He's going to do it in you. He's going to do it through you. If he can get you to step forth and say, this is the plan, I believe that. That's the only part that you can effectively do. That's your part to believe. Now, 2:13, do you know this verse? It's a great verse. It's God which worketh in you. Who's working?
God.
Who's working?
God.
Whose plan is it?
God.
Whose will is it?
God.
Whose pleasure is it?
God.
Whose purpose is it?
God.
Who's working?
God.
You know, sometimes we think this is the way God wants it, and he's sitting on a throne with his legs crossed waiting for me to do something. No, he just wants me to have the revelation. He just wants me to see. It's God which worketh where? Where? Oh, listen, if you don't believe anything else, believe that. Right in the moment of your biggest despair, of great dismay, say, God's working in me. What is he working in you? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Right in the spirit, spirit to spirit, my spirit and the Holy Spirit, in union together, God's working in there. He's stirring in there so that my spirit comes to grips with his good pleasure, with his will. He's stirring it up in there so I can see it, so I can understand it, so I can step forward and say, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. I don't even have to work up a sweat. You know, if you work for somebody and they say, this is what I want you to do, and you say, fine. You just proceed to do what they've told you to do. And you're not. Provide they've given you enough time and you have the skills, and I assume you do. That's why they hired you. You just proceed to be obedient. Get the report out. Get the paperwork out. Make the necessary phone calls. And that's all God wants you to do. He just wants you to say, he's saying, this is what I want for you. This is my purpose. This is the good pleasure of my will, that you be healed. That's the pleasure of my will. That's what I want. That's what I'm doing. And he said, I'm stirring that in you. I'm working out my will in you so I can see it, so I can have revelation of it, so I can believe it. God cannot do it until I believe it. The fact that he wants to do it does not mean it will come to pass. There will be people in hell. God did not want them in hell. They didn't receive. They didn't believe. They didn't see the pleasure and the purpose. See, heaven's his pleasure. It's his purpose. I didn't think of this myself. Somebody explained this to me. They didn't even know they were speaking revelation. I just about exploded. Now, you don't have to keep real quiet, okay? They said, you know why women always want to shift things, change things, remodel things? Even some guys. They want bigger and they want better, whether they want a better house or a bigger car or a bigger boat. They always want bigger and better and fuller and broader and wider and more expensive. I said, no, I don't guess I do. I was just leaping there looking at me like, what's the matter with you? I said, did you hear what you just said? It's because in my heart I have a mansion. And my heart always pulls me towards the mansion. It pulls me towards something bigger, something better, something finer, something broader. You can't help it. Your heart wants more, 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 more. It wants the fulfillment of God's will. It says the pleasure of God is that I should have a mansion that would be just suited to me and in my heart. See, because God's working in me to will and to do his good pleasure. He's working in me and my heart begins to say, you need bigger, you need finer, you need better. And because God's a giver, see, and he's in me, in my heart, he begins to work his pleasure. And you begin to want to give more. I need to give more. I need to do more. Because he's in there working. See, he's working. And I begin to sense his work and I begin to feel in my spirit or to sense in my spirit what God is doing because he's working in me to will his pleasure. He's stirring his will in me so that I can step forward and cooperate with him. And once I step forward and say, I see that. I know that. I'll never be embarrassed again, you know. If you have a $25,000 house and you want a $50,000 house, go for it. You want a $100,000 house, why? Because your heart's mansion conscious. It is. I'm telling you it is. See, and until you see that, until you realize that, you don't have to apologize for the will of God. Until you see, until you realize, until you step forward, the grace can't come. But when you see it, then the wind can blow. See, remember Nicodemus? He said, how can I be born again second time entering my mother's womb? He didn't see it. It couldn't come to him. He didn't see it. He didn't grasp it. That doesn't mean I have to unravel every detail. Because Abraham didn't have, he didn't have any idea how he was going to be the father of a great nation. And then after a while he thought, oh, Hagar, that must have been what God meant. So it wasn't that they had it clear. That's good news, isn't it? It wasn't that you have it clear, but you've begun to see. Now look at Ephesians 1 one more time. I want you to see Ephesians. See, it says verse 3, God blessed us. Verse 4, he chose us. Verse 5, he predestined us. Verse 6, he accepted us. Verse 7, he redeemed us. Verse 8, he abounded toward us. Verse 9, he made known to us. Verse 10, he gathered us. That was his will. That was the plan. That was the purpose. And do you see verse 9? It says, he purposed in himself. In other words, he purposed to do it himself. He purposed it in himself. Because I can't do it. I cannot heal. I cannot save. I cannot deliver myself. He said, I'll do this. I'll purpose this in myself. And he said, it'll be my pleasure. It'll be my pleasure. It'll be my pleasure. It'll be my pleasure. You getting that? Verse 5 again, according to the good pleasure, his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see, he gives his will, and it's the grace that brings the will to pass. But the grace cannot work, bring the will to pass, until somebody believes. Now let's look at two examples real quick. Romans 4. Let's go back to Abraham. Verse 21. It says, Abraham was fully persuaded. Not fully informed, fully persuaded. Not with full understanding, full persuasion. Oh, it makes such a difference if you just be persuaded. And it's because he considered not some things, because he had tunnel vision, because he saw only the promise of God, because he didn't consider the fact that the promise was impossible. And he looked right at the word of the Lord. I'm the father of a great nation. He became fully persuaded. Full persuasion comes by keeping your eyes on the word, on the promise. Now it says he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Who is going to perform the promise? Not Abraham. Abraham is not going to do this. Abraham is going to believe that God wants it done and that God will do it. It says he's fully persuaded that God is able to perform. Now where there's a performance, there's a show, there's a display, is there not? See, if I'm fully persuaded that Jesus is my healer, that he sent his word and healed me, I am fully persuaded. Every time I look at the scripture, whatever promise you like, my confidence, persuasion is confidence, it's faith, increases because faith comes by hearing. The foundation of my faith becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, he said in the book of Acts, almost thou persuadest me. One of the kings, when Paul ministered to him, said, almost thou persuadest me. See, almost persuasion won't bring the grace. But as I keep looking at the promise, what am I supposed to believe? That this is the good pleasure of God's will according to the riches of his grace. That the grace performs the will. The grace performs the will. Once I believe there is to be a performance. Now look at Luke chapter 1. Do you believe there's to be a performance?
Yes.
That's your part. Do you believe there's to be a performance?
Yes.
Now Mary was given impossible promise. She's going to carry thee Christ child. Verse 37, she says, with God nothing shall be impossible. See, it doesn't matter how outlandish the plan, how impossible. God will do it. If he said he would. See, he begins to work in me. God works in me. What is he doing? Working in my perception so I begin to perceive the plan. What's the plan? By Jesus' stripes you were healed. What's the purpose of his will? What's his pleasure? By Jesus' stripes I was healed. And he begins to work that in me. So I begin to perceive the plan. Now once I perceive the plan, just like Mary, you know, this is not impossible. Medically it may be impossible. With God it's not impossible. God is not limited to man's devices. Then she says, verse 38, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, or be it unto me according to the plan. She said, let the plan proceed. That's what she said. Let the plan proceed. Then verse 45, it said of Mary, blessed is she that believed. Now the angel came, gave her the message. Talking about to dream the impossible dream. But she believed. What did she believe? There shall be a performance. There shall be a performance. When I see that Jesus is my healer, I step forward in faith. You know what I know? There shall be a performance. Of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now look at verse 49. These are the words of Mary. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. He that is mighty hath done. Who did this? What'd she do? She said, let the plan proceed. Let the will be done. Let the purpose be accomplished. Look at verse 72. This is what God's going to do to perform the mercy promised. To perform the mercy promised. To perform the mercy promised. Who's the performer? It's not me. Who's going to bring it to pass? Who's going to change it? I just believe there shall be a performance. I mean, I believe that the wind blows, that grace comes. According to the purpose of His will, according to the riches of His grace. 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 Grace is when you, without merit, without works, without any diligence on your part, you receive. And so I just give this to you. I'm just giving this to you. That's what grace is. I'm giving this to you. And grace is power. I'm operating this in you. You can't be saved without power. When it says, for by grace are you saved, that's not good wishes, kind thoughts. That's power. It takes power to take the old man out and put the new man in. It takes power to get rid of the sin nature and put eternal life on the inside. That takes power. Let me tell you one story and quit. Is there going to be a performance?
Yes.
Who's going to perform?
Yes.
Who's going to believe?
Me.
When I believe, what happens?
Grace comes.
Amen. Years ago, when they were building the Hoover Dam, they had not effected the necessary transmission lines to move the electricity from the dam to the necessary sites. In other words, they've got this monstrous project, but the research hadn't been completed, so they don't know how to get, they know how to get electricity from the dam, they don't know how to get the electricity out of the dam to the homes. So they had a research team. The man leading that research team was a Christian man, and he couldn't figure it out. They had researched everything they knew. Everything they did exploded. They couldn't get the electricity to move. They needed some kind of a regulator that would hold the electricity from pole to pole, wire to wire. Couldn't figure that out. So finally, having exhausted his staff, you can read this story, it's historical. Having exhausted his staff, he sent them on 30 days vacation. He said, y'all just take a break, take a break. Now they're on a tight timeline and they've got pressure from Washington. I believe it was Roosevelt, but I'm not certain. Seems like it was Roosevelt. Because when you put that amount of money into a dam and then you can't get the power out of it, looks bad, you know. So they're under pressure. They've got a timeline. So after 30 days, he prayed about it. He was a man of diligent prayer, and he prayed about it, but didn't figure anything out, but he prayed. Well, one of his people had gone to the Holy Land on their 30-day leave and had stolen an old pot from a museum. Stolen. He was telling the head honcho, this doctor, about it. I don't know why you'd brag on that, but anyway, he was. And the doctor remembered Jesus turned the water into wine. And he knew chemically how much power it would take to turn water into wine. And you have to have certain structure in that pot for that pot not to explode when the water becomes wine. He got thinking about that. See, God's working in him. Stirring some thoughts in him. Stirring in him. Stirring in him. And he said, bring me that pot. And so what they did, they crushed parts of it. And the thing that they were trying to make, they made with the identical chemical structure of that old pot. Because he said, if you could put water in that pot and turn it to wine, that pot doesn't explode, then electricity will also go through this material. And that's exactly how we got it. That's how it came to pass. Now see, they couldn't perform it. They couldn't do it. They were trying to work it out and affect it with research teams and diligence. But when the wind blew, and that doesn't condone theft, okay? Just telling you how it came to pass. We do not believe in theft. See, in spite of all their effort, it's not man's effort that heals. It's not your hours in prayer that heals. It's not the amount of words you've read. It's not your time in meditation, though those things will add to your faith. But it's when the wind blows. When's the wind blow? When I say, I know there shall be a performance. When I know that God will perform the mercy promised. Said He would perform the mercy promised. He would perform. Perform. Oh, we thank you, Father, that there is to be in every life a grand show. We believe in heaven's show. We believe in the Holy Ghost's power. We believe in the grace of God. We believe in the freedom of that grace. We believe that grace is transmitted by our faith. We know you said by faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Oh, we thank you that faith is available, that the plan is revealed, that you've made known unto us the mystery, that this is not a mystery to us, that we have understanding of physical body and ailments and diseases and the work of the devil in the body and the work of heaven to bring healing and the work of Jesus on the cross that defeated the devil. We know some things. We know some things. We have some concepts and some ideas, and we step forward with what we know and say, there shall be in my body. Say, there shall be in my body a performance. There shall be in my body a performance. There shall be in my body a performance of those things promised. Say it. There shall be in my body a performance of those things promised. There shall be in my body a performance of those things promised. Unearned by me, unmerited by me, but grace comes.
Grace comes.